Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go for us. I'm Dirt and Sprague. Brandon's over there. I should say Booger Brandon and Brandon alongside me today. Don't be a chotch. Don't eat your boogers. We do have a lot to get to in this hour of radio.
I have tiny legs and I'm fat.
Tommy D talked to the media yesterday and business leaders, and that is where we'll start. By the way, we have the Magic Hat coming up 1 hour from now. Very excited about my Magic Hat submission. So is Sprague, so stick around for that coming up at 9. Nothing puts our minds into a blender as radio hosts more than trying to remember how to pronounce the name of somebody coming on the show. Now, we famously had Tyson Alderon for years and called him the wrong name for like 5 years.
He never corrected us.
And finally, one time coming into an interview, he was like, by the way, like, where was that the last 5 years? Help us out.
Also could have texted.
He also, there's other ways that we could do
this. He was on air, and he's like, you've been saying my name wrong.
By the way, like, hey, how about we do this discreetly? And that's what happened with our guest, an investigative reporter and anchor at K2 News, Wright Gazaway. How did I do? Did I nail it?
Hey, you got it right.
Yes.
You guys had it right at the end of the last segment.
Okay.
Yeah, right with right.
Right with right. Here we are.
By the way, sports guy.
Sports guy. That's right, Gazaway. He's going to bark at some point in this interview, and I'm a little concerned about that.
I'm not barking.
Okay.
I will not bark.
Now, is that just for this interview, or do we have an anti-barking policy?
No, that's the only thing I have in common with Matt Stafford is that I think the barking, to each their own, not my thing.
Really? Now, the reason we bring this up is he's a Georgia grad, and I'll never forget going when Oregon and Georgia played in Atlanta. We went to a Braves game the night before, and I was wearing an Oregon shirt, walking up from my section to go into the concourse to go get a beer, and people just barking at me and being like, I don't know what's happening right now. I'm really intimidated. And it was foreshadowing of how the game was going to go the next day. No, we wanted to bring Wright on because he was at we keep forgetting when to call it, so I'm just going to go Chambers of Secrets. Tom Dundon was talking to business leaders yesterday at the Moda Center. So I just kind of paint the picture for our audience. You had some videos up on your social media, by the way, right at Wright K2. You can go check them out there, of just what the vibe was like, what your biggest takeaways were as Tom Dundon's trying to sell this arena deal to the city council and the county.
Yeah, so this was billed as like a conversation with Tom Dundon. They held their meeting at Moda, which was out of the ordinary. They normally do it at a hotel. And he was supposed to come on at 2:40, and it kept getting pushed back and back and back. And then I saw him kind of off in the wings of one of the tunnels, which I thought was strange because there were like 1,000 business leaders, government leaders, the governor was there, all sitting in the stands. And he was, you know, all the participants were in the front row, and he was just kind of waiting in the wings. Mm. And he came out at 3:00, and we can get to his comments in a moment. I would just say my immediate takeaway was it was a very short discussion, and he was very short. He is a man of very few words. And I just expected a little more enthusiasm, and I just felt like he wasn't giving it.
Hmm. Do you take away from that? It's very interesting because we haven't had somebody like this. Like, I think the way his presence is, the way he is kind of addressing some of this stuff, I think it's making a lot of people in the political world, outside of the political world, reporters, it's making a lot of people kind of uneasy, making them feel a certain thing. He's gone through stuff like this before, though, when he was going through the Hurricane Stadium stuff. Just, it's just a different way, I think, of operating than we're really accustomed to out here in Portland. And so I'm kind of with you. Like, it sounds very unusual to paint a picture where you got the big mover and shakers, and he's not really doing a whole lot of, like, selling on, this is why we should get the funding, this is why you should fund it. I saw his quotes. I saw your video. He just seems very, I don't know. You were there. It strikes me as guy who doesn't feel like he needs to sell you anything. He's just saying, I own the Blazers. Make the building better.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of people there that were puzzled by just the whole discussion. And like you said, that was a pretty easy crowd. I mean, these are business leaders, the government leaders. These weren't the protesters who were outside. Right. And I thought his answer about, you know, the only question I felt like that was really substantive was like, why are you not investing private dollars into this renovation project as it's currently proposed? And that's the question I wanted to ask him, which is why I was there. I wanted to interview him, and then it became clear when I saw the setup that there would be no chance to even cross paths with him.
Right.
Very quickly. And he clearly feels like he is, by way of the taxes on the players' salaries, which is how the state bonds will be paid back, and by way of these ticket taxes and fees that the team gives the city. He really feels like that's his investment, because he made a comment. He said, we lower our ticket prices to account for these taxes and fees that we then give to the city, and but for those taxes and fees, we would make more money. So I just think, as someone who's covered this deal, city councilors are on the record. They want rent. They want payments in lieu of taxes. That doesn't sound like somebody who's even entertaining that.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's the next follow-up. So we're talking about Wright Gasaway, investigative reporter, anchor at K2, at Wright K2 on Twitter. You go give him a follow. Some of the clips from this Dundon meeting with business leaders in the Portland area at the Moda Center are on his social media profile. And I think that's the next natural follow-up, because we've heard from city council people. We've had some on our station who have talked about wanting to get certain concessions out of it. And it seems like your takeaway is that this is not going to be an organization and an owner in particular who's really willing to play much ball here. Like, it seems like there's a stance on their side of, this is the deal. This is the deal that we support, and that's kind of it. Do you think there's any middle ground as time goes on, if it does seem like, hey, this is that we're in question of whether or not this funding is going to pass? Do you think there's, at some point, they're coming to the table? Maybe it's from Dwayne Hankins, the team president, or somebody else, or do you think this is going to be their stance the entire time? I know it's impossible to know, but I also had that takeaway yesterday of, like, this is a deal, it's a fair deal, and this is the only deal you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys mentioned Raleigh. I mean, he's on the record saying that was a really hard deal. I was watching that yesterday feeling like, this guy's sitting here hardballing in the middle of a negotiation. And I think maybe that was his tactic. Hey, I don't want to, you know, I was expecting, happy to be here, honored to be in Portland, be an owner of this team. We love the Trailblazers. It's great fans. It was none of that. It mm-hmm. was straight to business. And it's hard to figure out where 12 counselors come down. We've talked to all of them. We had them on our post-NBA Finals shows. It seems like the majority of them at the moment are not going to approve a deal that doesn't include some sort of revenue back to the city. And one point I would just make that most people aren't realizing is the city of Portland does own the Moda Center, and technically they own it. But the Rip City Management is the operator of the arena. So every event they have there, the money flows through Rip City Management. The city is not the operator, which is a big, you know, the mayor's point is, we own the building, we should do it. And the city does own it, but there's a lot of money in operating it, which the team and the Rip City Management, they're still the operator.
When you talked to people at the event, did you get a vibe of how they felt about it?
I think they were hoping to get more. And I think if you went there hoping that you would have some reassurances that he's committed to Portland, I don't think you leave that event feeling better. And I reported this on TV yesterday. Andrew Hone, the chamber president, in one of his questions, he said, you've been on the record that if you get this money, if you get a deal, you'll keep the team here. I reported that he nodded along, and I went back and watched that. He did not nod along. He didn't correct Andrew, but he didn't chime in and say, yep, that's true. That's the question I wanted to ask him. Mm. If you get the money, will you keep the team here?
Right.
Now, we've heard owners say they won't move, but it was basically, if we're going to stay here and pay these tax rates to the state, we're going to pay these tax fees to the city, That's our contribution. That's what it sounded like to me.
Now, how prolific were the protests outside? Because I know you guys reported on that yesterday. I saw some stuff on K2 about, and there were city council members who were there talking to the protesters. You know, no bailouts for billionaires, yelling at people as they went in. How prolific was it? You know, just kind of a 10 people out front of the arena. Are we talking like what size of group of protesters are we talking? How loud was it? Yeah. What was that like?
It was loud, and if you are familiar with the, we park in the garden garage, mm-hmm. so there's that little grass median, for lack of a better word, kind of in right across the street from the garden garage. It's not very big, but it was full, and the protesters were along that sidewalk, some of them screaming at people as they drove in. They were taking pictures of people that drove in, and I thought about rolling down the window and saying I was there to cover it. But I'm not sure it would have mattered. But I mean, they were definitely. I mean, approaching people's cars that were going in, and I'm not sure if Tom Dundon saw them. But there was a crowd, I'd say between 50 and 100 people.
Okay.
You know what would have worked really well is if you walked past them and they heckled you, if you barked back.
Actually, they would have no idea.
I think they would have been so thrown off by
bark at us.
Guy barking at us.
It could be another day in Portland.
Exactly. Nice little suit. He's barking at us.
Happens a lot down there when you're walking around.
It's interesting because I hear everything you're saying. We were talking with somebody that we know that works within government and has good relationships with people. They also kind of have a similar takeaway of like, yeah, man, this actually is kind of starting to feel a little odd. And I get it. Like, he has said he has no intention. He didn't buy the team thinking about moving the team. He went through how people said that about him in Raleigh, about he was going to move the team to Texas, and he never even thought about that. So maybe his thinking is, I've already addressed this. I don't need to add to it. And so you just kind of sit there and take in whatever statement somebody is saying. The opposite side of that, because for everybody protesting and upset by the money and how you distribute from this fund or that fund, the obvious thing is it the city owns the building. It's $1. I hear what you're saying about the Rip City management and all that, but like the city owns the building. The building has never been really renovated. They need to renovate it anyway. So that's the Dundon argument that's like easy for him of like, you have to do this anyway. The fire play here. We have concerts. Artists won't even come to the venue as much anymore because of how old it is. What's the solution if they don't want to give it to Tom Dundon because he's a billionaire?
Well, yeah, that's the thing that I think supporters are pointing out is that, look, this arena needs to be renovated. The city's the owner. If the Blazers leave town, absent finding a new operator who will pay for renovations, the city's on the hook. And they don't feel like it'll ever be cheaper than $120 million. Because in the city's mind, they're thinking, we're getting a $600 million renovation for a quarter of the price.
Yeah.
So those people feel like it's a great deal. I guess it just comes down to whether the mayor can get six votes, because if it's a 6-6 tie, he would break the tie. And so that's really the number. If you're counting votes, they need six.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've talked to some people who think it's 7-5 right now against, and can you sway one? Can you sway two? Now the other part of this, and I'm hoping you can answer this because I should probably follow local politics closer. We all probably should. It impacts our lives more than national politics. But in the last handful of years, we've kind of overhauled the city council and given them kind of unprecedented leverage of just what has transpired behind the scenes for people who don't follow that closely, and maybe how we've set our own grave in that area, because the mayor, who is fully on board with this and is writing like chastising letters, doesn't have the power that maybe he had 4 or 5 years ago.
He has no power unless it's a tie vote. Exactly. And I think I've had counselors who came on who told me this vote will not break down how our other – there's a pretty common 6-6 vote along this council with how they break. And what I've been told is this vote will not break along those lines. So I don't know which way it would go, but I've heard it's different. What's interesting is we had those post-NBA finals shows, and we invited the Blazers on every time. And Dwayne Hankins politely finally said, look, I appreciate the invites. We're not coming. We have nothing to add. And we look forward to the city and the county upholding their agreement. What I find interesting is the city has made no agreement. And if the mayor has made an agreement with the team, to your point, he doesn't have the power to do that.
Right.
So it seems like it's the team's impression that the mayor's plan is an agreement, but now the mayor has to go find those votes. And that's, I think, the tricky thing that people don't – this is why the past mayor said, who would want to be a mayor in this new form of government, because you're really just a cheerleader. I mean, he's got no power. He can't make this investment on his own. he has to find at least six people who will vote with him.
Yeah.
Are you the new host of the Rip City Wrap Up? And I just missed the announcement.
Yeah.
No. I anchor all the newscasts, and mm-hmm. Just because this Moda Center stuff is such a, it's such a blend of sports and news. I obviously love sports as well. And they just asked me if I would come on and host the more, newsy interviews with city councilors. We had Andrew Hone on. We had Rob Wagner on. So they wanted me to kind of host that segment. Guillermo did the stuff with Casey and more breaking down the basketball side of things.
Yeah.
I try to stay in my lane on air, even though I'm in Guillermo's office every day.
Talking
sports. my analysis. And I just want to point out really quickly, I know we're maybe running long. I connected with you guys because K2 covered when you guys flipped to FM, and I tuned in like the loyal listener I am, and you guys were complaining that we didn't have enough enthusiasm when we read the story. So I'm sorry about that.
I love that member. That's a great callback right there. Right, Gazaway, he's a friend of the program. He's a Georgia Bulldog who will not bark at you. Okay, you don't have to worry about barking when you're around him.
I love the stay in my lane quote. He was DMing us too, like football takes. Like,
oh,
guys, I don't know
Georgia,
about this.
Yeah.
You just bash Georgia right here.
You bring up Kirby
anonymous,
Smart,
right?
Yeah. What's up with all your players and driving in Athens, man? Why can't they stop getting arrested?
I know. It's past the point of defense. And when I was playing there, we all had scooters and bikes. And if you go back now, the players' lot looks like an NFL Lamborghinis and souped up cars. They've got to get a handle on it. It's terrible to see because, they've already had one player die.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate. Real quick, and I know it's very early. We're not going to hold you to anything here. We talk about stupid crap on this show all the time, so nobody's going to hold anything against you. Do you lean that eventually they will pass it? Because we had, I think it was Candace Avalos was on the station.
Yeah.
And she is somebody that's like, I don't know where I'm voting yet. But she basically did say, I think the quote was something to the effect of like,
she thinks a deal will get done. It's just about working out the details in the deal.
Exactly. You know? Like, are you sharing that sentiment right now? Or are you leaning one side or the other based on what you're seeing and hearing and feeling? Like, where would you be at on that?
I'm going to give you a terrible answer because it's so hard to tell. And I would just say there's no one for or against a deal. I think they would all argue they're for a deal. Their definition of a deal is different.
Yeah.
It seems like right now, if the ownership group is not willing to share any of the revenue, either the operating revenue or rent, it's hard for me to see them having the votes. But, of course, anything could be happening behind the scenes. I think it just comes down to what Tom Dundon ultimately agrees to pay as part of the deal, if he agrees to pay anything at all, or if the councilors start feeling pressure from their constituents to get this done no matter what.
Yeah, it's one of those reminders. If you want a deal passed, start calling whoever your city council member is, whatever district you live in. Give them a call. Tell them you want them to support the bill. At Right K2 on Twitter, investigator, reporter, and anchor at K2. Friend of the program, Georgia Bulldog, was at the Tom Dundon Chamber of Commerce meeting yesterday. Right, thanks for the time this morning, man. We always appreciate it. Great insight, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, I'd love to talk football as it gets closer.
Let's go, baby. There you go. Right, Gazaway. Great stuff from him, from K2. And that was a great balance of understanding exactly what it looked like. I talked to somebody who was there yesterday, and it's always good to kind of corroborate some of the stuff you hear. And it was a very similar takeaway of there's not a lot of enthusiasm about being here. There's not a lot of like, hey, Portland, like the band that comes out, the lead singer, Portland, we love you. There's not a lot of that from him.
He just gets right into the song.
That's throwing pitches down the plate, and if you're not ready to swing, you're not ready to swing. But we ain't farting around getting any of this nonsense out of the way.
Did we expect him to come out as Mr. Enthusiastic?
I wouldn't say I expected him to, but I do think the Orem wrote a piece yesterday that I agreed with of –
You need to be leading this?
There needs to be a balance here of, like, not just, hey, we got a deal, get it done. Like, we agreed to this. Clearly, you haven't agreed to anything with the city council. Maybe the mayor you did, but to Wright's point and the political landscape we have right now, the mayor's powerless.
Yeah, he is. But he is already on the record, I think, at two different points said when he got the team, he was told this was the deal. There was a deal in place, basically.
Yeah.
And now he's getting pushback.
Right.
It may not be a big number of people, but you got protesters now booing people just going to the event, which is...
They were out there yesterday.
Well, it's an odd thing to just protest going to one.
It's going
to
become a campaign topic for people who are up for election in November of I'm not giving a billionaire tax dollars, and they're going to, I mean, people are going to turn this into a massive debate come election season cycle. Mm. Let's, a couple more thoughts on this on the other side. I had some other takeaways from somebody who I know was there that I thought was interesting. One, maybe like break glass in case of emergency situation that we could find ourselves in. And then also bits of audio. So he mentioned, right, the Tom Dundon quote on why he's not putting money in. So we'll play that for you because he sent that out yesterday. Also a quote from Steve Ballmer about the idea of moving teams in the NBA that just happened to be on a podcast here in the last handful of weeks. So a little bit more on this, the Tom Dundon meeting and the idea of funding the Moda Center next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Magic Hack coming up top of the hour. Going to be a fun last hour and a half of the show. Albert King helping us along here. Old Tommy D was in Portland yesterday. Now, is he going to be at the press conference today? I saw this that Joe Cronin will speak. I didn't know if he was.
I'd be a little surprised if the owner's not at.
I would tend to agree with you.
But then again, I didn't see the last owner at the last coach hire we had. I just saw Neil O'Shea and Chauncey Billups.
Look, there's a lot of things we can criticize Tom Dundon for. Press conference is not one of them because the last one never did one. he's already 100% higher on the list of press conferences than the last owner had in about a decade.
It'd be odd to be here for that meeting and then leave before your coach hire gets announced.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here is yesterday. So I'll read a couple thoughts from somebody I know who was there, and they were very similar to what Wright Gazaway had to say, a reporter from K2 who we just had on. Tom Dundon was asked. This is the big sticking point for a lot of people. No bailouts for billionaires. No money for billionaires because Tom Dundon's not putting his own money in to fund the arena. They're asking for $600 million in publicly financed money to renovate the Moda Center. The state's part of that has already passed. It did with the Breeze. It was, boom, there it goes. That was easy. All right, there's $300-plus million of it. Now we're waiting on the city council in Multnomah County for the rest of it. Hey, Tom, why are you not putting your own money into the Moda Center?
Look, I think, given the age of the arena, the normal thing to do would be to build a new arena. And so we looked at it. It felt like what other markets are doing and where they're getting tax money to do that was going to be something that would be difficult to achieve here. And so we thought the easier way to sort of solve the problem was take these dollars that are generated here. You know, when you charge an incremental fee on a ticket, we're really just paying it. So we are investing in it because if you didn't charge that money on the ticket, we would charge more for the ticket. Like, supply and demand works pretty well. And, you know, obviously there's lots of places that don't have taxes at the same rate. So if you charge people taxes and invest it back into the thing that helps generate the money, relative to the market, other places, it's a huge investment. So I think everybody can characterize things however they want. I don't see it the same way, but I'm not trying to get people to agree or disagree with me. I just know it feels like we're making a pretty big investment by staying here and paying these tax rates and agreeing to these fees for dollars that go back into the building. It's not that we're taking the money.
So that to me was, his tone is always going to be perceived a certain way. Like, that's just kind of the way he talks. And so there's not, to our point in the last segment, you're not getting a lot of like, hey, Portland, I love ya!
Hey, he's just even killed on everything he does.
And I thought that was a pretty down-the-middle pitch where he's saying, look, there's this idea right now, and this is where I want to try and balance both sides of this. I understand the argument from some city council members of we need some guarantees out of this, right? Like the Rip City Management Group collecting all the revenue from every event that happens at the Moda Center while the city's paying for every penny of the renovations of the arena. Mm-hmm. I get why that's a sticking point. I get why they're saying, how do we share? And if we're paying for the renovations of the arena, you don't own the arena. We own the arena. How is there not some give and take here on rent and, you know, percentages of return of, like, whatever, right? Like, I understand that argument. On the other side of it, I also, like, there's this false dichotomy that's out there. This happened at the protest yesterday as I'm reading up on what was being said and what the council members were yelling. This idea of, like, we're not good, we're not funding our schools, so therefore we're cutting school budgets, therefore we can't pay for the arena. Mm-hmm. These are two different things. The silos of tax money that they're coming out of are not the same category.
Right.
And to his point in that clip, and this is the argument that a lot of people are making that are pro the funding of it, like, the things that are getting taxed in order to pay for the renovations of the Moda Center are only getting taxed because the Blazers are here. It's taxes on the player's salary. It's taxes on the ticket sales, car rentals, hotels around the – like, the things that are driving people to the Moda Center.
And all disappears, right? If you don't have a basketball
All team. Of that tax revenue disappears. Yeah. And so it's not like this idea of, like, well, now we can't fund schools because we're giving Tom Dundon $100 million. That's not the case. They're different silos, different tax categories that they're coming out of. And so there's definitely a balance here, but I felt like that was a pretty down-the-middle, like – we're paying high taxes. We're not asking for a new arena. The city owns the arena. Like, this is pretty reasonable to me.
I agree. I don't really have much else to add. I thought he actually came across level-headed with the answer in explaining everything. I know you want to share some thoughts from people that were at the event, and we talked with Wright about it. But, you know, the thing I'd add to this is just I just don't – I guess where you kind of lose me, he is right in the sense of, like, almost any other city – a guy would come in and they'd be like, we need a new arena.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
give me a $2 billion arena.
Give me $2-3 billion to build an arena.
Yeah.
That happens all over the country. It's not right, but that's what happens. Instead, they said, well, we got all these taxes. What if we just fund the renovation? And he comes in thinking, okay, everybody here, the governor, the mayor.
Everybody was there
yesterday.
Everybody
was, well, but when he got the team, and he has alluded to this, that he was told there's a deal and we're going to renovate. And $120 million, where it comes from, is it the climate fund, all that stuff, I get it. But also, like, you own the arena. You have to renovate it.
Yes.
So, like, you can try to negotiate things. Like, everything you just highlighted, very valid point. I could actually also see him just saying, you don't get anything if we're not here. So
yeah, I think,
like,
that's,
I think he's gonna play.
He's gonna play hardball here. He's not.
He already
gonna,
is. Yeah. I mean, he's already playing hardball. That was an event specifically made for him to easily just let people eat it out of the palm of his hand. And he was like, "We're kind of already paying for it through the taxes." And that was it.
That was it.
It was a very short Q&A. Did
that's
not go very long.
From.
So yeah. I know you want to share what people were reporting live, but yeah, the city owns the building. Renovate the building.
Yes, it makes sense to us. I certainly, again, acknowledge there are things, and the city council, by the way, it should be pointed out, they started their public debates on this yesterday. So they did, I mean, for hours, the city council debated this. And you can go read through, K2 actually had a great write-up on it, too, not just because we had Wright on, but I read last night. Of all the different points that are being made, right? And they're not anything new or unique. It's, you know, how do we protect our workers? How do we make sure the wages that they're getting paid mm-hmm. are sound? How are we getting a rent payment from the Blazers? If we own the arena and they're playing here, what percentage of rent are you going to pay us? Like, there's a lot of things that can be debated that are totally fair. And it's one of my bigger questions lingering this entire time is, if those things come up, and I know that somebody, and maybe it was the mayor, said we got a deal, and if he did, that's kind of out of pocket for him because he doesn't have the power and the leverage in order to do that. Are the Blazers willing to concede on any of these issues? Is there anything that they're willing to say, oh, okay, you want a unionized workforce in your arena? Fine, we'll let you do that. Or, hey, you want a 2% increase in the rent payment, or you want a split profit for this event or that, like whatever the case may be. Is there any middle ground that they're willing to find that can help this deal along the way? some of the thoughts that came in. I'm going to play a Steve Ballmer clip here in a moment. I know somebody who's a lobbyist who's very close to city government and local politicians and angling and arguing on behalf of his client quite often. He was at the event yesterday. Then he texted me, the event was a strange juxtaposition. On the one hand, it was great. He had the governor, the mayor, county chair, other prominent politicians, business leaders. Essentially, all the movers and shakers were there. Great. However, a bunch of protesters outside the building yelling at us as we went in, and three city councilors attended and spoke at the protest saying no bailouts for billionaires. It's complicated by the fact that all three of the councilors who were at the protest are up for re-election in November. It's clear they're going to make not giving the city money a campaign issue. Also, you've got 12 city councilors. Right now, the vote is 7-5 against. I still just don't see how you flip two. And he went on and talked about some of the other details, a lot of what Wright pointed out.
Well, there's a lot of time is what I would say to the 7-5 thing. Like I
although they would argue, so they want this done by December, and there's people on the city council who made the argument yesterday, it's ludicrous to ask us to make a decision on this by December.
Which is hilarious.
It's
too busy renaming Cesar Chavez.
Cleveland High School.
Oh,
thank
Cleveland
you.
High School, that's right.
Let's get to the issues that matter here.
Got to keep those bricks.
Cleveland High School's name, Grover, you're out. You got to find a new mascot. No Grover around here anymore.
Look, here's the other part. I said this to Wright. I really believe we have never experienced somebody like this.
No.
I mean, unless I'm not remembering somebody, but like
Paul Allen bought the Blazers and has paid for every penny of Moda Center. Run it like anything that the arena has needed, yeah. He has paid for it. Never asked the city for anything.
A sports owner that is like hyper-aggressive coming from an area where the tax rate is significantly less, so he's not losing as much money, you are going to get immediate pushback. And he's not even like loud about it. He's just like everything we have laid out on the city council side of, oh, you got to try to get some concessions here, there, and there, right? His response is kind of easy. How did he get Mike Inori?
Waited him out.
Leverage. It was the only remaining job. Yep. Norrie's 52. He wants the job.
Wanted a head coaching gig. Didn't
and
get
so
it.
So Norrie says, you know what? I'll take the contract. I'll bet on myself. That's, you know, cool. We'll see if that works. I hope it does work. Are you going to be surprised that he's taking the same approach?
No.
Give us this. No.
All right.
Well, what about this, that? No. Because I own the team. Now, I know you have a clip you want to play, which I think is an important one to play, but he's also sitting with the... You need us.
Yes.
You cannot afford to lose. Your city will... I don't know which city is without the Blazers.
Right.
So, like, I think he's just going to sit there and do the same thing with this that he just did to get his head coach.
Right.
Here's the contract. You want the job? All right, there you go. Thanks.
I think that's the hope is that as you get closer, I imagine there are some on the city council who don't think there's a legitimate chance that he moves the team, and I don't believe that Tom Dundon bought the team with the desire to move them. I don't think that was the reason. He said as much, and I believe him, and I take him at his word at that. If there is no funding, that then comes into question. If you're not going to pay for the arena deal to get done, he does not shake me as the kind of guy that's going to say, all right, you didn't come up with your $150 million? Fine. Here's $150 million out of my pocket. He's not tied to the city in that regard. And so that's where I think as you get closer to some kind of deadline is maybe there's a sense of urgency to your point on Mike Inori. All of a sudden, you're staring down the barrel at the end of this negotiation of if there's no funding, that becomes a real possibility. Then maybe you get some people to relent and change their mind. One other thought that I thought was interesting is the person I was talking to said that they met with somebody at the state. And the state, remember, they were the first leg of this funding package. They passed over $300 million.
They did pretty quick, too.
Snap of a finger. Like, we need to get this done. And they got it done immediately.
Yep.
Asking, basically, on the state side, is there a break glass of emergency if the city or county does not find a way to pass their funding that the state in their next session, when they're back in session, says, we'll pony up the dough to make up for the, whatever, it's $150 million. Of shortfall that you don't have from the city or county. And they wouldn't commit to saying that that's something that they would do, but they didn't rule it out. And I think the state and the mayor and the governor, everybody in that regard understands how important it is to keep the Blazers here from an economic standpoint. And so just another thought to keep in the back of your mind of maybe there is an answer somewhere else.
Getting concessions is, you know, that's an important thing, obviously, for some of these council members. But, like, you didn't pay for the building. It was handed to you for a dollar. How much money have you made in 30 years of that building being there and this team staying in the market?
Right.
I mean, we went over the numbers yesterday, and I might have shortchanged it. $600 million per year?
Yeah.
Like just
the number of jobs
people,
it creates, the number of people who come to visit.
4,500 jobs, right, 600 million. You got a third of the people that don't live here. You got another third of the people who don't live in the city or state.
It's insanity to me to think about not doing it. Because
just get it done.
If you somehow lost the Blazers, the thought of the economic impact on this city would be, it would be a nail in the coffin. We would never recover as a city. And some people don't think we will recover either way, based on what happened through COVID and all the businesses leaving and all of that.
We'd be the Flint Tropics.
I mean, it would be, yeah. I mean, you think about that area. What other reason would you have to go to that area of Portland?
I would never have a reason.
You would never go down there.
I don't have any friends that live over there.
And what would happen to that area if you lost this tenant? And what would, like, it just.
What is it during basketball season?
The economic engine that that is for here. I certainly understand that there are things that we can level-headedly discuss of should that be in the deal, should that not be in the deal. But when push comes to shove, there needs to be a deal because the alternative of that is a decimating fact for the city. Let's. I have a couple more thoughts on this on the other side. I have a quote I want to play from Steve Ballmer. We have some thoughts coming in at the Fan Tech sign. If you want to send yours in, 503-864-6326. A couple final thoughts on this, a little tidbit out of the NFL, and then the Magic Hat, top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series, to MLB, and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Damn. Coming up in the final hour, we'll break down the steel cage match this weekend at the WWE Night of Champions.
Oh, yeah?
Seth Rollins versus Braun Breaker? Braun Breaker.
Coming up next, live in studio, Jey Uso. Jey, what are your thoughts on Dirt? What his appearance is?
I have tiny legs and I'm fat.
Yeah, yeah. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. That's a good one. Well played. Well, in the last segment, I played the Tom Dundon soundbite. By the way, Magic Act coming up top of the hour. I'm filling out my submissions as we go through the commercial break. We'll get to that in a moment. I saw this randomly. Now, I will acknowledge, I don't know the date on this. It was just one of those things that popped into my algorithm. Might have been recently, might not. Do you know what Podcast P's podcast is called? Paul George? Do you know what the name of his podcast is?
Oh, man. I used to.
So I could probably properly credit this. This is where this aired. It was on. And now, I don't know if this happened after he traded him, because it's with Steve Ballmer.
So it's podcast. Yeah, I think it's just called Podcast P with Paul George.
Oh, okay. Podcast P. There you go. That's the name of the pod.
That's actually a really good name.
I mean, it is.
He's Podcast P.
He's not Playoff P. He's Podcast P. And I thought this was interesting. So the idea of the Blazers leaving town, you know they're going to head to Kalamazoo. We're going to be the Kalamazoo Kazoos.
I've heard those rumors. Kansas City, obviously, would be one. It would be season one finale.
Of when he aired on the pod?
September 2023.
Okay, a couple years ago.
So he was still a Clipper when he talked to Steve Ballmer.
So he has Steve Ballmer, the owner of the team, on the pod. And I thought this is interesting because Steve Ballmer is a very rich man, as we all know. Wanted to buy an NBA team. And I, you know, the back half of it's not that interesting, so I might just cut it off at some point. But the bulk of what we want to know or hear about, I thought it was interesting from Steve Ballmer at the outset of what Adam Silver told him about buying and moving teams.
Literally within 2 weeks of my last day at Microsoft, I fly to New York to meet with Adam Silver, who's taken over now for David Stern, and with Roger Goodell. And I say, hey, I want to buy a team and bring it to Seattle. And Adam says, well, you know, we don't want teams to move anymore. We saw what happened when Seattle moved. We really want these teams to stay. And I'm biding my time, and then the Sterling thing comes out. And my middle son, who was in college at the time, he says, Dad, you got to get on this. This thing is going to sell.
Imagine your dad being
Finally,
Steve
I figure out God, a way to meet Shelley Sterling. Donald's out of the picture, and you know she's running the show.
After that meeting where you're like, all right, I feel good about this. I gotta do this.
No. Well, I knew I got to do it.
Yeah.
The teams don't come up. It's an L.A. team.
Yeah.
I'd mentioned to Adam when I went to see him, hey, what about the L.A. teams? He said, oh, those teams will never sell. And then, of course, the whole thing happened here. So I was all in. I was all in. But then it got in the bid process. And I was still all in, but we were in the bid process. And I just said, I'm going to get this team. And people thought I way overpaid.
Yeah.
But I got the team.
You got the team.
I probably paid 10%. Maybe not easy.
I was that rich.
Developers.
I'd buy the Blazers for $7 million. This wouldn't even be a discussion.
Whatever.
I'd build us a new arena.
Yeah, let's do it. If I'm Steve Ballmer, I have no... The back end of that doesn't matter that much. I just thought it was interesting. Here is somebody at the end of the Microsoft days coming in ready to be one of, if not the richest owner in the NBA. And the commissioner telling him, like, no, dude, you're not going to buy a team and move it to Seattle. We don't want teams to move down.
Well, he was a part. So Chris Hansen was the guy that was trying to buy the Kings when the Kings were in flux.
Yeah. The guy from Catch the Predator. Wasn't his name Chris Hansen?
It's same name, different guy.
Okay.
So this he's a hedge fund investor guy, right? So he's got all the money from the financial world, and he was – the problem that he made was he was being way too loud. He was somebody bidding to buy the Kings, and in the process of the bid was doing regular interviews on radio stations daily.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're going to move it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And the Kings fans are irate. They don't want to lose their team. This guy has the money for it. And that's when the Kevin Johnson rally to get the new ownership group together in Sacramento. That's when all of this went down. Ballmer, I believe, was going to be a minority stakes owner in that Hansen group because he's a Seattle guy. And then that fell through, and Hansen's going to get – he's blackballed, basically. He's never going to own a team. And then when the Clippers got brought up, I remember thinking when Ballmer's name was brought up, I'm like, why
stay in L.A.? Nobody cares about you.
Why do we have two teams in any sport in any city?
Right. The Brooklyn Nets of New York. It doesn't make sense. It's a Laker town and a Knick town.
It will never not be a Laker town. The Clippers could win four titles. It'll still be a Laker town.
Doesn't matter.
And to his credit, he's probably told you can't relocate them, which is so stupid. But, dude, he paid for the whole arena. He's got one of the more respected venues in American sports. And he's done an exceptional job trying to build interest into the Clippers. But... yeah, I remember hearing his name by the Clippers. I thought, that's the perfect team to relocate. You don't need two teams in L.A. Nobody ever cares about the Clippers.
Nope.
You can go rebrand. But it's interesting to hear the comments replaying from a couple years ago of Silver saying adamantly, we don't want to go through this.
Yeah.
Now, that was at that time. That's a long time ago in their world. So, who knows? Again, we still sit in the same spot of... every story seemingly seems to be Mike Inouye's contract's awful, Tom Dundon's cheap with T-shirts, Tom Dundon's playing hardball, and city councilors are out here politically protesting everything.
We could use a dub one of these days.
Did we get a dub?
Give me one dub. How about J-Dub? That'd be a nice dub.
I love that dub.
How about that dub?
That's a dub.
Can I get that dub?
Every political party would want. J-Dub, please. Right, left, middle, red, blue, purple. I don't care, man. Yeah. Make it J-Dub.
I just, maybe this again is misplaced confidence, and I should be far more worried about this than I am letting on. As Bill Oram would say, do you know who I am? There's just an idea of like, the NBA.
Who do you think I am?
The NBA doesn't want to go through this again. And that will always reside in the back of my head. In any city you want to throw out, like Vegas and Seattle would have been two prime candidates. Who's going to get expansion teams?
Yeah.
Vegas and Seattle.
Yep.
Nashville wants to get thrown out. Where are the Grizzlies going to move in like 2 years?
Well, that's the other
thing. They're already playing games in Nashville next year.
Well, they're supposed to be doing that. The Spurs, to their credit, also do a game or two in Austin.
Yeah, like that just makes far more sense than the Blazers moving. They want regionalized scheduling. They want to be able to balance this thing out. And having a team go from Portland, Oregon to Nashville, Tennessee does not behoove or make sense for the NBA.
No, it doesn't. But also, politics can get in the way.
Yes, that is very true. A couple quick thoughts here from the fan text line. 503-864-6326. Magic Hat right around the corner. So he said, I honestly love that answer from Dundon. Basically, if you don't make us pay taxes, we will pay for it. That would be wonderful for us. please do that. Another one, if I'm annoyed with all the BS going on with the MOTA and the city council, then I can't imagine what Dundon must be feeling. Buying a team with a guarantee that the funding was in place and now being made out to be the bad guy would piss anyone off. No wonder he isn't stoked about Portland right now. Putting myself in his shoes, I think he's handling this okay. I'd be throwing F-bombs out at any city council member who was against getting a deal done. This should be a no-brainer for the city.
Who and do you think I am?
You know, it's a great question, Bill. It's a great question. So some thoughts coming in, and somebody saying, I can't imagine that the majority of citizens who are against public funding are actual Blazer fans or even sports fans in general.
Well, I think we will learn they're not.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Very, very true. Lots to get to in the final hour. We have the Magic Hat. Love, love my submissions this week. Film very good. Sprague's got some audio to go with it. I got some audio to go with it. The Magic Hat on a Thursday kicks off the final hour. As always, next, 105.1 FM The Fam.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.